All right, we're early 2 minutes, but we're online, and we're all recording, and everybody's here more or less. Both of us are here more or less. So, good evening, and welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. I'm Phil McMillan. We'll be talking about our prayer list here in just a moment. First thing we need to do is prepare for worship with prayer. Nothing we can say or do is worthwhile to God unless it's done in His power. So, search your soul, lay aside your guilt, self-obsession, and problems, and ask the Father for the eyes and ears of God the Holy Spirit so that all we say and do may edify this local body and glorify our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this evening. Thank You for the time to assemble ourselves together to the study of Your Word. Heavenly Father, You have so much for us, so much to tell us, and it's all found in Your Word. And we pray that as we look to it this evening, Your Spirit's eyes, and maybe our eyes and ears, and that we may understand the depth and breadth of Your grace and all that You have for us here in the local assembly to glorify Your Son. For it's in His name that we do pray, sir. Amen. Well, as I had mentioned, on TV tonight, normally Kit would be here, but he's not feeling well. He has flu-like symptoms, and I talked to him or texted with him earlier today, and he's feeling a little bit better, and but he's still got a cough. He didn't say the C word, so I assume it's not COVID. So hopefully he'll be back with us by next week, huh? And I talked to Chris Day, and they're all feeling much better. And but Keith Ben Day, who's going to be, I think, 2 weeks at his Air Force training, and he's going to need our continued prayers to make it through that. And be in prayer for my wife. She's Patricia's traveling to Indianapolis, and she has spent most of the day at DFW Airport. I don't have an update. She's been giving me many. Last I heard, she was going to be put on a flight. It was like 3 hours after her scheduled departure time. But she should be in Indianapolis around 10:30 tonight.
What happened to keep her?
They just kept canceling the airline. They kept canceling the flight. They delayed it, moved it to another gate, delayed it again, moved it to another terminal. She had to go catch the train around to another terminal. And that was the last one I heard that she was on the train going. And I got a boarding notice for that one, but I'd gotten a boarding notice for the other ones before because I can't keep track of her on the app. I got to keep tabs on my babe on the moment. Yeah. Make sure she's safe. I've got to watch my phone to see if I'm running out of here going to the airport to pick her up. It'll be like chasing a wet hen if she's not gotten on that plane. I'm not going to have a fun ride home, I tell you. Hope they get her on that plane. Bless her. Let's see. Please add to our prayer list. Our oldest brother, Steve McMillan, he was on our prayer list last year. He had suffered a minor stroke, and his condition is that he had leukemia for a number of years. He was on chemotherapy drugs. He was on, I can't remember the name of it, they call it the silver bullet, I can't remember, interferon. He was on interferon for a number of years. Then he was on Gleevec for a number of years after that. And his leukemia has, been in remission, no trace amounts of it for quite a few years. And but those many years on chemotherapy takes a terrible toll on your vascular system, and they think that that's the source of his problems. And they're running a vascular test on him in the morning to see if he's got brain bleed or leakage or what is going on. That caused this stroke he had Sunday evening, apparently. I just heard about it on my way here, so I haven't got a lot of details. But please keep my brother Steve McMillan on your prayer list. Boy, we got long prayer lists these days, don't we? Yes, sir.
What's that, Garcia?
Maria, yeah, I forgot to mention. Maria Garcia, I asked to put her on the prayer list Sunday. She has COVID, and it got bad enough that they had to take her to the hospital, and I'm not sure if at that point they decided to put her on a ventilator, and then her lung collapsed, or her lung collapsed, and then they put her on the ventilator. But, I think largely due to the fact she hit the prayer list of our church, another church, and quite a few, half of North Texas. She stabilized Sunday evening. She's still, of course, sedated and on the ventilator, and they anticipate that that will be for at least for a couple of weeks, because they've got to wait until her lung capacity stabilizes or grows and she's getting enough oxygen. So that's their course of treatment these days. And so that's the road set before her. Please keep her on our prayer list. Any other prayer requests from you guys? How's Sheila doing?
She's just holding it right now. She's supposed to have had chemo this week.
Yes.
And I haven't talked to her yet because I don't remember which day she said that it was today or tomorrow.
Starting her chemo?
No, this will be her second one, I believe. They had a space in between her.
Yeah.
Up moving around, it's just that you're tired.
Oh, yeah.
Even from just having the one. And her body's still healing from the surgery, when they had to do the surgery on the colon and make that loop around, because they couldn't do anything with it, otherwise she would have bled to death.
Mm.
And so she still was recuperating from that. But I gather she's holding her own so far. And maybe once she gets truly into the chemo, we'll see a little more of progress in terms of
okay. So that's a niece, Sheila, and she has colon cancer, and she's been on our prayer list for quite a while. Responding to chemo, and hopefully responding well to that treatment. Okay? So there's our prayer list update for the evening. I know we prayed for our class and our time together, but let's lift all through all these people with health problems up again. Okay? Heavenly Father, we see our prayer list growing and growing, and some would say that's a bad thing, that you aren't hearing us, but you hear very well, Heavenly Father. Each time a problem arises that we know we have no solution for, that's way out of our control, we know exactly who is in control and where to go with that problem. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace and blessing of having a seat at the throne of God, a place to take any problem that we have. Heavenly Father, none of these illnesses, none of these situations are beyond your ability. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that in all of them, no matter what the outcome in this world might be, that your Son will be glorified in hearts and minds as we all deal with these issues. And we ask it in Christ's name, sir. Amen. So, I'm going to... Yes, sir. Well, I think it's on. It sounds real loud to me.
What's
on?
It wasn't on, but it wasn't
right. It stopped. Well, it's okay. I'll let it keep running now, but Julie can strip the sound off of the Facebook, because it all got recorded there, and put it online later on. She fixes all the mistakes I make. So, and speaking of prayer requests, keep her and Brian and their constant travel back and forth and their ability to continue helping our church out, getting online and spreading the message here. Sometimes it feels like the online is all we have left. I want to, is it messing up again? That's just showing where it stopped and then started again. It'll be fine. Okay. Sorry. Pardon me. So, I gotta apologize to the few of you that are here this evening in advance, because our subject tonight is going to be on the importance of coming to church, and it's going to sound like I'm yelling at you, but I'm really yelling at everybody else who didn't come. Okay. Let's see. I am going to start here with a news story. I use, I teach English as a second language, and I use stories from Voice of America, learning English often and working with my students, give them something that they can read and we can talk about. And I ran across an interesting story, Voice of America. This is, you, most of them are recycled from AP or Reuters. This one was written by David Sharp for the Associated Press, and Dan Novak adapted it for Voice of America. This is secular information, but very pertinent. It's, will Americans return to church after the pandemic? And read through this with you here. We'll make sure we're all online. Sorry, I'm double-passing, which means I'm ignoring something. Let's see. Okay. So, will Americans return to church after the pandemic? Millions of people stayed home from churches and other places of worship during the coronavirus pandemic. Struggling congregations have one important question: how many people will return? The pandemic has eased in the United States, and in-person services have started up again. Many places of worship, however, fear a loss of congregants. Some houses of worship may not survive. The Reverend Gloria E. Whitman Hannon is a professor at Harvard Divinity School and the leader of a church in Boston. She said smaller churches with older congregations are in the greatest danger of failing. For the 164-year-old Waldoboro United Methodist Church in Maine, the pandemic proved fatal to the church. Even before COVID-19, weekly attendance had fallen to 25 or 30 for a church that holds several hundred people. The number further fell to 5 or 6 before the final service was held Sunday, said Reverend Gregory Foster. This story came out last week, so it's been around the 4th of July. Gregory Foster, he says, we can't entirely blame everything on COVID. That was just the final blow. Some people have not been back at all, Foster said. In Virginia, the Mount Clifton United Methodist Church experienced something similar. The church can seat more than 100 people, but the number of weekly worshipers fell around 13, even before the pandemic. The Reverend Darlene Wilkins led the Mount Clifton congregation. She said the pandemic really ended the church. It became next to impossible to sustain, she said. The pandemic came at a time when fewer and fewer people in the U.S. identify as religious, and it is too early to know the full impact of the pandemic. A survey by the Associated Press and the National Opinion Research Center shows signs of hope as well as cause for concern. They found that about 75% of Americans who attend religious services in person at least monthly before the pandemic say they are likely to do so again. That's up a bit from the 66% of people who said in May 2020 that they would attend services if it were possible. But 7% also said they will not be attending. Okay. And those findings are in line with the Pew Research Center of Americans last summer. Pew found that 92% of people who regularly attend religious services expected to continue at the same or higher rate. 7% said they would attend in-person services less often. Now, that's out of 192 said they would regularly attend, and 7 said they would attend in-person services less often, and that leaves 1% that have been lost. Okay. Let's see. White Hammond said congregations that are successful after the pandemic will likely be the ones that changed to meet the needs of the pandemic. She said those that kept a connection with congregants have a better chance at surviving. She found that 8 in 10 congregants said services were being streamed online. In Charlotte, North Carolina, Temple Beth El was closed during the pandemic, but the temple kept the connection with congregants through events like Color Day. Volunteers baked over 900 loaves of challah bread, which were delivered to homes so people could eat them on Shabbat, Judaism's day of rest. Okay. Dusty Klotz is the rabbi of Temple Beth El, says, "There were people who went home and they never come back to the sanctuary," he says, adding, "It's up to us to make sure they have the opportunity." That's indeed what we've got right here, is the opportunity. And it's up to us to keep that opportunity out there. Just the opportunity, though, is all we can provide. Four men teaching the Word of God here to the best of their ability and the filling of the Spirit with all the academic training that they can muster. Only one professional, but the rest of us do what we can. The reason we've all done that is simply for that to give everyone the opportunity. Aside from the opportunity, it takes volition on the congregant's part. And as we see in that story, that secular story about the trends were looking bad long before COVID struck. COVID has been very convenient for many people that were already wanting to leave the church. They can say, "Well, I'm doing it from home." They can say, "Well, I don't want to get other people sick." They can always find time and a way to do anything else that they want to in the world, and for fun, recreation, and work. But when it comes to the church, I've got to be very careful about the COVID. You know, it's a very convenient thing, and it's not a lack of opportunity. We've got to call it what it is, negative volition. It's rejection of the need to assemble together as the Word of God commands us to do. And so what we're going to look at today is a few points and a lot of verses about why it's important that we come to church and assemble together as believers. Okay? So, point one, the church is called the body of Christ. No single one of us can take up the entire function of the body. It takes each and every one of us. Right now it's taking four of us just to fill the pulpit. Anel has been begging for help in cleaning the place. So she's taking the mantle of that on for the most part. Anel and the Dags and Anel's son Jeff have kept this place clean for the last year. Okay. A few other hands have pitched in now and again, you know, but it's mostly been up to that one small marvelous group that has kept the piano dusted and the pews sanitized for your protection, and you just decide to seize the opportunity and come here, and the bathrooms clean and all, and the floor vacuums and all those mundane things that you want to say, "Well, I don't need to do that. I'm just kind of below me," but that's the function of the church, right? That's what keeps our church going. Those are very necessary things. Thank goodness Mike brings donuts every Sunday. He's late, but he brings some donuts in. Sometimes the only donuts we get, but we'll see. Every little thing that everybody does here is important to the function of this body. Now, this body is not just about the church, it's about the representation of Christ. We're the body of Christ, right? The church makes up the body of Christ. The church isn't there just to glorify the church. The church is there to glorify Christ. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 26. And see what the Bible tells us about this body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 21, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Yet our more presentable parts do not require.
But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Right? If my hand is used to paint a marvelous picture, people don't turn around and say, wow, Phil's right hand is very talented, right? They say, Phil did a great job of painting that picture, right? Because my hand is not independent of my body and gets no honor or glory without being associated or attached to the whole. And the same is true with the members of the church. One member of the church, is it more honored or more important than the other members of the church? One person cannot be that representation of the body of Christ. It takes all of us together, pulling together, to be a representation of Christ that will impact the world. If it's just one or two of us, the church is not going to survive. It takes all of us to make a whole body. If, you know, enough parts of your body, enough internal organs fail, the whole body dies, right? One important internal organ can fail and the whole body dies. It takes all the parts, all the moving parts to make this body function. And that's so true for our church and why it's so true that it's important that all of us come and function here, okay? None of us are more important than the other. Point number two, the church is the visible presence of God in the world. 1 John 4:12 tells us, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Right? In us, not in just in me. I'm not the singular perfection of the love of God in the world. It's all of us. It's seeing the work and love of God in this assembly that glorifies Christ in this assembly. Remember, as we talked about when we looked at that Peter passage in 2 Peter 1, we're partakers of the divine nature. We are the representation of God on earth now. And again, it's us as a body, as a body of Christ in the church, that's going to make that successful. Now, I'm talking mainly for our church, right? But it's the church universal as well as our church, right? We have fellowship and communication with other Bible churches in the United States, and we have communication with missionaries to pray and encourage one another. And a lot of you don't know about it, or you may not have heard about it. We probably need to make a better opportunity there in doing mission reports and letting you know some of the other people that we know. Herman talks to at least three other pastors on a regular basis, so we're not just our little group. Our little group is part of a lot of other little groups. And it's all of us together as part of that body of Christ. It's not just us, just as it's not just one person in this local assembly that makes this church. Okay, so we are all of us to represent Christ's love. And that's the perfection in the world. That's the perfection of God that the world needs to see through our churches. And it's not going to happen if we don't come together. Hiding at home, and, you know, when we absolutely were in lockdown, now, even I had a point where I couldn't leave my house because I had been in direct contact with someone who had COVID, really tested, had COVID, no doubt about it, and I wasn't going to come here and risk giving it to any of y'all, but I wasn't going to miss the opportunity to teach the Word of God, so I taught from home at my desk and just streamed it in here. So the function happened even though there was an extenuating circumstance. But that's an exceptional thing. Okay? That's a gracious, that's God's gracious provision in that situation. Most of the time, I'm going to get up in the morning, even when I don't want to, at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and I'm going to study for 3 hours before I get my suit on and make coffee for my wife and get up here so that I can teach the Word of God to give everyone the opportunity. And some can't make it. I know some of them have to come in from or watch online from other cities. And so many, you know, there are people that get up regularly and watch online more faithfully from another city than many of the people who live in the neighborhood around this church could fit here, okay? Or in the city, you know, surrounding areas of our church. So, again, you guys, I'm not yelling at y'all. Y'all are here. You're okay, all right? But you guys up there, you pay attention. I'm not talking about any one individual, whether if it hits you between the eyes, well, I'm sorry, that's God the Holy Spirit talking to you, that's not still picking on you, all right? And you're going to have to deal with that in the privacy of your own soul, but I'm telling you right now, I'm hoping that the result is going to be you come to class more often. That's the whole point of this lesson is to help you understand you need to be in the pew. So, we are, point two was that the church is the visible presence of God in the world, and where God has blessed us and given us the ability to learn His Word, even in isolation. Now that that's coming to an end, if it ever really was totally necessary, it's coming to an end, and we need to not use the excuse of COVID or any other thing when we can come to church and seize the opportunity. We better get it while we can, because you never know when they're going to lock us down again. You never know when they're just going to say, you can't teach that Bible anymore. It's this close in our society where they're going to say, you cannot teach there are only two genders. You cannot teach that marriage is between a man and a woman. We're this far away from that becoming law. And people are going to enforce it in the bigger churches first, but they'll be coming for us one day, you know, because you can't say those things in the devil's world, and especially in the midst of his stronghold, and expecting to let it stay. Okay? So enjoy it while you can. It's another good reason to come to assembly. Okay? So, point three, it is in the assembly that the gifts of God the Holy Spirit flourish. And we're going to look to the book of Ephesians. I don't mind overlapping with Herman's study because I'm going to chapter 4 and it's going to be a while before he gets there. So. Let's see.
Can we quote you on this?
Let's see. So I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to pick it up in verse 11. And this point that I'm making about it is in the assembly that the gifts of God the Holy Spirit flourish. This is between 11 and 32, and we're going to get another point for the remainder of this chapter. Okay? So I'm going to pick up in chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. I think that's the only place where you see that Graham Sharp rule where we get pastor teacher. Yeah. And so that's the only place that we get that title. We like that title, though. We get a lot of miles out of it. It's a, the idea, if you take apostles, certainly that's a gift that falls under cessation, because no one can qualify for the apostleship unless Paul, Jesus Christ, comes down to earth and talks to them personally. That was one of the requirements for being an apostle, is that you knew Christ personally. So that gift falls under cessation. Prophecy, we tend to tie a lot of mystical ideas to that word prophecy, right? But it's really a simple compound Greek word, and it means pro, before, and to say before. Prediction is the direct Latin equivalent of prophecy, okay? And in prophecy, excuse me, in the Old Testament, generally, this is why we get that mystical idea with it. God would talk directly to someone or use someone directly as an important distinction that Kidd has been making in the book of Judges. The way the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament, he didn't ask permission. He just used who he needed to get his message out there. And so he put those words in that person's mouth, and that person spoke about what was going to happen on the battlefield coming up. What was going to happen to this king that was messing up? What was going to happen in the future in this situation? So those men were called prophets because they were talking about what was going to happen in the future. And in the New Testament, the application of prophecy is not that mystical union or interaction with God the Holy Spirit, where he does something whether we like it or not. In the New Testament, if we have prophecy at all, it's simply from observing the Word of God and seeing it with the eyes and ears of the Spirit and understanding that, say, for example, Gog and Magog is talking about Russia and China, or at least Russia, if not Russia and China. Gog and Magog is just Russia. Kings of the East is China. Sorry, didn't prepare that part. It was off the top of my head. So we have, because we can have the eyes and the ears of the Spirit to see that passage in Ezekiel and apply it to the world now, and we are indeed seeing what's going to happen in the future in the tribulation. So when we teach that information, in effect, that's prophecy here in today's world, okay? Because we're saying in advance something that's going to happen, saying before it happens. So we're prophesying, yeah. So prophecy may or may not fall under the cessation, depending on how you look at it. But then all these others, you have pastors, teachers, evangelists. The older I get, the less I see a distinction between an evangelist and a pastor teacher. Sometimes, though, I do see that necessity for someone who has that gift of really grabbing someone who doesn't believe and God the Holy Spirit using that unique individual to get that gospel across to other people. And so definitely a separate thing from everyday slogging through the Word of God to give it to you guys in a manner that you can use it, okay? And pastor, teachers, and Christ, all of these are different jobs, different functions in the local body. All of these are individual gifts that God, the Holy Spirit, gives to different people, right? And if we need all of these gifts in the local assembly to function, we have to have a pastor teacher. We have to have evangelists going out there. And we do have at least two identifiably evangelistic gifts in this. I hate to embarrass him. Brian St. Clair is a walking gospel machine. I've seen that guy in action. It is amazing what God can do with him. Somebody asks him the time of day, and he'll give them the gospel. I would just be so pushy about it. You know, I get punched in the nose if I were to try half of those things. We definitely see that gift, and we need all of those gifts to function as a local assembly. Gifts of helps, gifts of hospitality, gifts of kindness, all of these, many of these things that are called gifts, as we see in the book of Acts, they are fruits of the Spirit for the most part. They're just the fruits of the Spirit coming through in an individual, and those are gifts from God the Holy Spirit, those fruits as well, in that sense. So we need all of these little functions. Why? For the whole body to work. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, and that work of service is going to lead to the building up of the body of Christ, that is the church, right, the body of Christ. Until we attain to the unity of the faith, we have, again, this is that striving for the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We all rely on the same power source. We all have the same information. That's unity. We're all working towards the same goal, okay, in the same power source. That's what holds our faith together, the unity of the faith. We will attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Not a few individuals, the fullness, the whole thing, plero'o. You have actually two words here that mean mature. You have to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's the same, I believe that's the same word, I'm not in the Greek here. But mature and fullness, plero'o, have the same idea behind them. A mature leader is a mature ear of corn, right? That is ready to eat, okay? And it's full of yellow kernels, okay? So as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects to Him who is the head, even Christ. We have a goal, and that's to be functioning. Do cars have pistons anymore? I don't know. They're so weird out there nowadays. But we used to say, burning on all pistons, right? Yeah, every one of them firing in the sequence they're supposed to be firing. When you have a spark plug out, you get, you don't hear a purr, you hear a rattle, right? And that's what a church without all the functions of gifts and fruit going on in that local body. One person can't have all of them, so we have to it takes everybody coming and using their gifts that we can have that mature organization, a group of people relying on the Holy Spirit and functioning in unity to promote the glory of Christ. One or two can't do that. One or two can gather together and get a prayer answered, but the more than two in this room are praying, the rest of you come to church, all right? The purpose is for the building up of this church in love, growth of the body, to build up in love. Remember, we want everyone to see the love of Christ as Christ is represented in the world. Okay. Point four is where we're going to continue on here in our passage. This, in turn, leads to the individual's Christian walk. Okay? We went from the function of all of us working together in God the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you feel like I've taken away from your individuality and the plan of God and how wonderful you are as an individual, here we go. When we all come together and all those parts are working, it's going to make each of you individually have a more effective Christian walk. Okay? So verse 17. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, the emptiness, the vacuum. They're thinking about what God wants and how to show that they are holy before Him. They are being darkened in their understanding. And we're going to talk more about this process, but when you reject what God tells you again and again, God keeps telling you the same thing about assembling, relying on the Spirit, and producing His fruits and using your gifts that you have before Him. Every time you say no, it's darkening. It's hardening your heart. And it's going to cause you more agony in your soul than you can believe if you don't overcome that. Remember the cycle of faith. God gives us information, and the Spirit makes that information clear to us. But it is not worth a hill of beans until we say, I believe it. Yes, and amen. We were teaching the kids at camp. You've got to believe it and turn it into something that works and functions in your life. That's the application we get out of it. It's going to affect you individually here. You're not going to be darkened in understanding like these Gentiles who are operating under their own power and being deluded, speaking truth, craftiness and deceitful scheming, as it said above. So, Gentiles walking in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Right? Cycle of faith. What did you have? You learned Christ. God gave you information. You are imperfect and unable to have a relationship with Him. God, the Holy Spirit, taught you, convicted you of your sinfulness and told you that all you had to do was believe in Christ and you would be saved. And you made that faith step and believed in Christ, and it affected in you salvation forever, evermore. That's how we got into the plan. That's the way that we came to Christ, and that's the model by which we live in Christ. Okay? But you did not learn Christ in this way, impurity, greediness, and all those things you just mentioned. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus. That, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which is God, is what that says, which is in God, excuse me, which is in God, they threw in the likeness of, okay? But this new self, it isn't like God. It's in God, right? Just like we are in Christ. It's not a likeness. It's the real deal. It's the representation of Christ on earth, okay? And it's the new self, that which is born from above. It's not this junk you see that was made here on earth. You know, it's a real Stradivarius, not a mock-up that's made in China, okay? It's the real deal. Been created in right and put on the new self, which is in God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Righteousness and holiness. We have these because of the work of Christ, right? That's the proof of our salvation, that we walk in those things that are of God. The proof of our salvation, as you saw up above, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Christ in this way, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former member, that phrasing is, they're acting so poorly, he's sounding for believers at this point. Okay? That's because our only proof of being a believer is in the production of God the Holy Spirit in our life. When we have none of that, we have no proof that we're a believer. We have no glorification of Christ in our life. And that's the whole point of being a believer, is to glorify Christ in our lives, right? So, that one passage, that one turn of phrase there is one of those things that people will look at and say, you see, you can lose your salvation. It's not a loss of salvation, it's a loss of opportunity. The opportunity to glorify Christ. The opportunity that you get when you fellowship together with other believers. The opportunity that you get in the pew. Okay? So, this is your, therefore laying aside, verse 25, therefore laying aside falsehood, speaketh each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all the malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Okay? So, this is our daily Christian walk coming out from being in that unified power system. Just as we come together and God the Holy Spirit uses all these parts to make a whole representing Christ, it affects our individual lives and takes sin out of our lives, gives us the ability to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, kind to one another, self-approved church, right? Putting aside all those things that are opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, like bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and slander, right? You'll overcome these things in your life, not by your own power, but the power of God the Holy Spirit. That, in turn, enriches the local assembly. Okay? Oh, wow. One of those cycle things, right? You come in and as an individual, you make up a whole thing. The whole thing makes you a better individual. You bring that back to the whole thing, and it's a better whole thing now, right? God loves those cycles. God loves working in those cycles. You see it again and again, that he gives us something. In this case, the local assembly, it makes us better individuals, and we bring that individual back into the local assembly, and it makes a greater local assembly. And that's going to keep on happening. That cycle's going to keep on happening. As you come to the church, your church continues to grow, you have more, you're a better individual, and you're producing more better individuals, right? And your church is strengthened in that way. And all those little lights from the church that are getting stronger and brighter are going out in the world, and that makes a difference in the world. If you sit at home and memorize the entire Bible and the entire dictionary of Old Testament theology and every other of these huge books I have in my office and study often, but that information is going to do no good in your soul, in your office, in your home. It does good when it's a light out in this world of darkness. And it does better when your light is together with other lights in the local assembly. Okay? So we had 3 and 4 there in that one passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Point 5, the reason we need to come to church is because we are told to assemble. Flat out told to assemble. Denying that is going to lead to hardness in your heart because you're rejecting the truth of the Word of God. There is not one thing God tells you in His Word that He doesn't expect you to believe and put to use in your life. Right? That's why we're given all of this information, not just to learn it, but to glorify Christ through it. If that isn't the result it's having, there's something wrong. You are not having a relationship with the Father, because the Father promises that if you rely on His power and stay in His plan, you're going to glorify His Son. And if you're not glorifying His Son, there's a breakdown in your faith cycle. You've chosen to tell the Word of God that it's wrong somewhere, somehow. And it's going to have a result, a negative result in your life. It's going to produce hardness of heart. Let's see. Yes, I do. I wish I would have written down where it was at, but I do have a great verse. It was in Hebrews. I think it's Hebrews 3. Yeah. Or Hebrews 10. Yeah. Or is it 10 or 13? Yes. I got it here. If I move my bookmark. It's written down. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Yeah, that's Hebrews 10.
10:13.
Okay. Don't wait. Okay. How about that?
No, 23.
Let us hold fast. You know you study the faith once or twice when it falls out of your Bible.
Yeah.
Which
Yeah, I have a bone to pick with you, Herman.
Yeah.
The latter prophets still stick together. Let's see. So pick it up in prayer. I'm sorry for that delay. Yes, Hebrews 10. We're going to pick it up in chapter 23, or verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast the confession of our hope. Hold fast to the, what is it we have confessed, right? We have, we're holding fast to the statement that our confidence, our hope is in Christ. And we're going to hang on to that without wavering in any way. For he who promised, the Father is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That one another is not going to happen all alone, right? One another is not going to happen in a single household. One another, with just one person or one small, very small group of people, it's going to happen in a local assembly. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day is drawing near, okay? I don't have to have a great voice of prophecy because Paul said the same thing. The day is drawing near. And whether we see that glorious appearing of the Lord in the sky or not, we need to encourage one another. If we see it, fantastic. It'll be a magnificent a thing that only one generation in all of history is going to get to see, the glorious reappearing of our Lord in the sky, the rapture. And so if those things happen, great. If they don't, we're still waiting for them. We're still watching our loved ones pass away. We're still getting ill and suffering death ourselves. We're still in this devil's world below. We need encouragement to keep our faith strong and to keep relying on one another, to strengthen our faith. So, and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Again, good deeds, as we saw him use over and over again in Titus, every time he was talking about good deeds, he was talking about the production of the fruits of the Spirit in those, local assemblies that he had Titus working through. Okay? Good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, point six, we need the encouragement of the assembly to prevent that hardness of the heart. To remember that we are commanded and we need to be reminded sometimes. Get in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself in the pew. Be encouraged. If you say you don't need encouragement, come encourage someone. Okay? Good for you. You got something to pass around. Because there's two sides to that coin, right? We're going to encourage one another. Let's see. And finally, we need the encouragement of an assembly to prevent the hardness of the heart. Take care. Also, Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. That's a reference to the story of in the wilderness, right? When they needed some water, and
they chided and told God, you brought us out here in the desert to die of thirst. We don't have any water. They tested him because he had, despite all the provision he had shown them, all the delivery that he had given them to bring them out of Egypt, they let one hard circumstance cause them to turn against them and harden their hearts and act as though God was going to abandon them. It's tough in the world today, and it's easy to take that same stance, right? God has abandoned that church. God has abandoned our nation. I'm going to hide over here and take care of my own spiritual development. I'm going to hide over here, and it's just me and you, God. I don't need that church to encourage me. Don't harden your heart. Hear His voice. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart and challenge God. Respond to His word, because He's clearly telling us to assemble ourselves together. He's clearly telling us that we need the time to worship Him together, to encourage one another, to look for opportunities to share His grace and His love with the world around us. We need all of those things, and we're not giving them. We're not getting them done because we don't have enough people showing up. We need people in the pews on Sunday. We need people with a plan to further the Word of God. Pass this assembly and study on Sunday night. Pass the two classes that we have on Sunday morning. Those are wonderful things. I love teaching the Word of God. Like, you wouldn't believe this has been an opportunity of a lifetime for me. And I love listening to Herman. For 40 years, I've been loving listening to Herman teach the Word of God. And this is a wonderful opportunity to hear, but we need more in our local assembly. We need better outreach. We need more gifts functioning. Not just the ones to clean the place. We do need those. Not just the ones to bring donuts. Because Mike only brings whole. He doesn't bring the whole donut. We need more people with donut gifts around here. Yeah. I'm just picking up your mic. Thank you very much for the donut. We need all of these gifts functioning, and we need more impact in our church, in our lives, and with each other. Okay? Oh, ladies group starting up on Thursday night. Right? That's a wonderful thing. Thursday during the day. And maybe there's a few of you that can join. Maybe Julie can show you how to put it on Facebook. we'll let you get rolling first. But if any of you ladies out there are interested, contact Judith. Okay? Will that work? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. Are there any questions? Can I answer any questions from you this evening?
Let's just request everyone to be in prayer for this assembly.
Indeed. Herman asks, again, everyone be in prayer for this assembly. Be in prayer for one another in this assembly. And believers, don't complain about this church. Come make this church better. We dare you. Come and do everything that you can to give us a greater impact. What's your gift? What do you want your gift to be? What are you called to do? Listen to that still small voice. We're gonna support you in every way we can to help that happen. Okay? Let's listen to the Word. Say the Word of God. Listen to the Spirit. Demonstrate Christ's love in the world around us for greater impact for ourselves, for our church, and for our nation. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how gracious you are to give us your word. Thank you for the great assurances that you give us in the promise of salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of your Spirit that helps us to teach others about that great thing. That great promise you've given us of eternal life with you. How can we not want to give that great gift to others? Heavenly Father, help us to have the opportunity